Welcome to Nobody, No Problem. I'm your co-host, Katie.
And I'm Kristen.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Ooh, I sounded like the Hunger Games lady. Welcome, welcome.
I like it. Now I'm going to go home and watch Hunger Games.
So good. So effing good. But we had this conversation in the beginning of quarantine. How dark they are. It's really fucked up.
Very.
They really are. It's very sad, and lots of people die. But, I mean, I guess it's expected.
Honestly, it's life.
Sacrificing children. Yeah. No big deal.
People do it all the time.
So, it's Friday. We're telling moitas again. It's me this week. I am really excited to tell this story, but I told Katie it's a rough one.
So, we'll all get through it together.
We will all get through it together. It was a little, it's rough. It's never, but you know what? We were talking about it downstairs. It's always rough. It's not like they get easier, you know?
It's not like there's ever a happy murder story.
No. No, no. Unless maybe it's Dexter and he's killing a serial killer.
True.
I'd be okay with that.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Positive news. What did we say? Oh, we started working out.
We both started working out.
We did.
Week. And that's good news. For us and
our significant other.
Sure.
And our
health. I was going to say everyone, but I guess no one really gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit.
Be happy for me. I'm getting healthy.
Yeah. So, good moves. Good stuff. And, you know.
I'm currently dying. I'm walking like I was physically assaulted by a man.
Yep. Well.
Because I'm just in pain from going to this personal trainer.
So well, he does a great job, you know?
If someone wants to come shoot me, that'd be fine.
Yeah. You should... Anyone on the South Side, Weight Loss Incorporated, that's where Katie's going. I am just working out at home, so she's doing a lot more than I am.
Yeah, I started on a wonderful diet where I get to eat vegetables and lean meat, pretty much. So check back in a week and see how much I hate myself.
Yeah, it's hard. It is hard, but you know what? I have faith in you. Yeah, it'll totally be worth it. I have faith in you. And it's, you know, we're not spring chickens anymore, you know? We're getting older.
We're old hens.
We're old hens. We've got to be more concerned about our health. And quarantine, as most people can attest to, hasn't done much for it.
I gained a few pounds.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend. You
definitely
and me
definitely double
both.
Digits.
But... Well, it was also after our wedding. I dieted so much that year, I just shoved so much food in my face.
Yeah, that would happen.
Yeah. Well, we're married now, so he's stuck. Whatever.
Sorry, CJ.
Yeah. Sorry, babe. Just kidding. Totally. But hey, I'm working out too. I just am treadmilling it and probably going to do some insanity in the basement.
Good luck. I hated insanity.
Yeah. It's hard, but I mean, you do lose weight. Said. But yeah, that was positive news in our lives.
Yeah, next week we'll go back to good news being on a global note. Kristen just keeps forgetting.
Oh, yeah,
so it's like,
I do.
What's good news? We started working out. There it is.
Yeah, because I'm the worst and forgot. But I was working on this story today and then got tired. And then my husband lost the garage door opener. Sorry, Crotty. And people couldn't get stuff out of our garage. It was a mess. So, just distraction. You know, sorry.
It's really not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not.
Sure, people aren't.
But, you know, it might brighten someone's day. We try.
Oh, and Kristen also has purple hair now.
I do.
So that's cool.
Last weekend, I decided that I was bored.
Okay, let's talk about this first, though. Because the texts that I got were, should I dye my hair dark again? I think I'm going to do it. And then sent me a picture of, like, dark brownish hair. And I'm like, yes, go for it. You've been blondish, grayish, whitish, whatever, everything for,
grayish.
Like, a long time.
I have.
She sends me a picture. She's like, so this happened. It's fucking purple.
It is. Well, it's like a deeper reddish purple, but lot of it is purple.
It's purpley purple.
It's, well, there are, so the bottom of it is very purple, and then I mix more of the red, so the top is more of a,
no,
kind
it
of
looks
like
purple
a,
from here. Violet, if you will.
Eh, yeah. I mean, it's purple. It's a gem-toned color. 32 years old, purple hair. Living my best life.
Good for you.
But it is a nice purple. It's like a darker purple.
Like it
looks cool. I like it. That's pretty much all that's new in my life.
Yep. Same.
Yeah. Well, in our lives, I guess.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
No?
That's all I got.
Oh, and Raya. That came out today. Oh, yes. So pumped about watching that. So excited. And I was telling Katie that I'm just not even excited about, like, I am excited because it's like the new Disney animation movie, which I'm all about. But I'm just excited that there's something new on the TV. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's right. I started watching The Walking Dead for the first time this last week. Oh,
so good.
I did not realize how many big shows I missed out on until quarantine happened. I mean, like, I look at all the shows that I watch, and everyone is like, you never saw that? And I'm like, nope.
Well, The Walking Dead is such a, like, clutch big TV show.
I just never watched it. Because of the comics? I don't know.
Yeah, it's so good.
Didn't have anything against it, just never watched
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I told her I was wearing Daryl Dixon on my shirt the other day, because there was a very large stage of The Walking Dead where I was just so obsessed with Daryl. I also have a mug that my husband purchased. And we have a pint glass that has Daryl's face on it. So.
Stalker much.
Love The Walking Dead. So I'm excited for you to get past where you're at because shit gets crazy. But we're not going to talk about it because you haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But yeah, that's pretty much what's new in our lives. Don't have anything else. Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Let's get on with the show.
Are we getting on with the show? All right. So
this one is rough. What I'm going to tell today is
the murder of Irene Garza. Let us begin. So Irene was born in 1934 in McAllen, Texas, to Nicholas and Josephine Garza. So they were not really well off when she was born, and they lived on the south side of town, which I hate saying because we live on the south side of town and it's a wonderful place. But I don't know why south side of towns just get like a bad rap always. But they were awesome people, and they owned their own dry cleaning business, and eventually worked so hard that their dry cleaning business was like super successful. So they were able to move to the more affluent north side of town.
Ooh.
Which was great. Good for them. You know, hard work, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's what we like to hear.
We love to hear that. So she graduated from McAllen High School. She was just fucking awesome. Like, honestly, she was so cool. So she became the first Latina to become a baton swirler.
Ooh.
And was also the first Latina to become a drum majorette in her high school. So lots of, like, breaking doors, breaking barriers, things like that.
Breaking down doors.
You mean
glass ceilings?
Sure. Well, breaking down doors
whatever
works, too.
Whatever gets you into the house.
Exactly. You know, shattering glass ceilings, whatever you want to say. She was awesome. She was also crowned the 1958 Miss All South Texas Sweetheart.
Aww.
And was homecoming queen at Pan American College. So she was beautiful and amazing.
And talented.
And so talented. And was just like this awesome human being that I totally would want to be friends with if she was still alive today.
Spoiler alert. She'd be old at this point if she hadn't gotten
married. Right. But you know what I mean? Like, just that vibe of just like really good stuff. She was great. Just wonderful. And she was involved in, you know, extracurriculars and was loved by so many people and was just super great stuff all around. She graduated Pan American College and became a second grade teacher. Do you want to hear another reason about why she's like the coolest fucking person in the world?
Because she's the teacher.
She went back to the south side of town and taught impoverished children in the second grade. So McAllen, Texas is right on the border of Mexico.
Okay.
So a lot of people that were transfers who didn't speak English and were very impoverished and came to America for a better life, she taught how to speak English.
Oh,
so just in general, like, they're not made like that anymore. She was a wonderful human being. Just all around wonderful person. Throughout her life, as I mentioned, Irene took her faith as a Catholic very, very, very seriously. She was very devout. She belonged to the Legion of Mary and attended Mass and took communion daily.
Oh, wow.
So very devout Catholic, which I feel like is a lot in the culture back in the day, too.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You know what I mean? So very into religion. So on April 16th, 1960, she told her parents she was going to go to confession at Sacred Heart Church in McAllen. So Irene was a very striking person, as I mentioned. So there were multiple people who saw her enter the church that evening. Around 10, Irene's parents still haven't heard from their daughter, but it's not that strange. They figured she just stayed for midnight mass.
Okay.
You know, not that weird. Apparently it happened a lot, but also, again, she's a devout Catholic, so why not? When they still haven't heard from her or she had arrived home by 3 a.m., they called the police and filed a missing persons report. Mm-hmm.
Here's where it all goes bad.
So the police put together the largest search party in the Rio Grande Valley history. So that's kind of like the area where she lived. Mm-hmm. On April 18th, the police discover a literal trail of evidence. 100 yards past McAllen Road, they found Irene's purse. And then they walked like a couple feet or however long, maybe a couple yards. Found her left shoe, walked forward, and then they found her lace, her black lace veil that people used to, you know, devout Catholics would pray in.
Right.
All kind of in a row. Ugh. Yep. The police did all that they could, because again, it's, you know, they don't have access to what we had, what we have now, way back in the day, and followed up on any and all leads. There were a ton of leads. There was also, this is why I hate people. So one woman called the Garza's house claiming to be Irene and that she was kidnapped and taken to a hotel in a nearby town called Hidalgo. This lady was just nuts.
Okay, sounds like it.
Like, why? Ugh, why? What is wrong with people? And this one's even better. So a man actually called their house stating that he killed her as a joke.
There's nothing funny about that.
Hilarious.
And I like humor.
Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Just super, super funny on that part. So they followed up on all of these leads, but that's just, you know, a little snippet of the leads that they had to follow up on. So after another week of searching for Irene's body, they found her. April 21st in the McAllen Canal. Her body was found several miles away from where the evidence, other evidence was discovered, her shoe, her veil, and her purse. Mm-hmm. She met pretty shitty end. Not great. Not great. So, per the medical examiner, Irene appeared to have been raped and beaten unconscious until she was suffocated. So, good stuff there. There were bruising over both of her eyes and to the right side of her face. Unfortunately for the investigators, any and all evidence there could have been was washed away in the canal,
yep.
Given how long the body had spent in the canal. Investigators questioned about 500 people across many Texas cities, basically anybody and anyone that they could. So, again, back in the day, I feel like they were doing the best they could with what they had, because at this point, all they know is that she was at a church.
Right. Well, I mean, that kind of stuff even sometimes happens now where
yeah,
you just don't have any evidence.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing there.
That's so sad.
They carried out about 50 polygraphs and offered a $2,500 reward for information. So $20K about in today's money. I think it was like 21 something or other, but about $20K in today's money, which was larger than any amount of money offered up until that point. So wow. They were really trying to get any information they could. And it just, you know, kind of shows like her standing, which I don't want to say is like, but it really like people were really genuinely like, what the hell?
Yeah. People were really upset about this.
Yes. People were outraged.
Which
and
is
there
not
was
surprising given the family and their, you know, with their business. I'm sure they had a lot of loyal customers who become friends, and then her schooling, and then
yes,
her pageantry, and then her,
and
job.
Her church too.
And then the
I
church.
Mean, yeah. I mean, so I'm sure she knew tons of people, and there was actually I read that another businessman, and this was unclear. They said another businessman, I'm assuming that were friends with the family, tacked on another $10,000, and whether it was $10,000 in present day money, because $10,000 from 1960s to now would be about $85,000. So I don't know. But either way, people were like tacking on more money for information because, well, I mean, the community was just outraged by everything that happened. So the police were able to kind of break down the night of her final night. So their timeline was together and all things seemed to point to one person.
Dun, dun, dun.
Father John Fite.
God damn it.
was 27 years old and had been at this church since he completed his seminary training in San Antonio. This priest would be one of the last people to ever see Irene alive. So people who are at the church that night said Father Feitz was taking confession, but his line was moving super slow, and that he left the sanctuary many times, which I am a Catholic. Katie is not a Catholic.
I am not.
I can tell you that I am not a practicing Catholic anymore. My experiences in giving confession, whether it be face-to-face or in the, pardon me if you are a devout Catholic, I don't remember the name of the booth.
Box?
Yeah, the box.
The booth actually
that you just,
really
you
better.
Don't leave. I mean, you don't leave. It's super weird for him to leave. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Just not normal, which is already like, suspicious.
Sure.
What are you doing? That's so important that you have to leave. So everyone's already like, what the fuck? But, you know, they're at church, so they can't say that. They're just kind of looking at him like, why have I been standing in this line for 35 minutes?
Right.
You know what I mean? But they're aware, you know, like they know what he's doing. So upon draining the canal after finding Irene, they actually found Father Fiat's photo slide viewer not far from her body.
What is that?
It's like you'd like put photos in there. I'm assuming it's something similar to like what I pictured. Is remember the Mickey Mouse ears where you put the things?
And then you click.
And
to
you
see
clicked
the next
it
picture?
And it changed.
But like,
I am
why
assuming,
would an adult.
Well, it's the 60s. So.
Have that. If it was a toy, though.
No, that was not a toy.
Oh.
That's what I'm picturing what it, yes, that's what I'm picturing what it's similar to. Like, you take negatives.
Oh.
And that's when you actually, like, view the photo. Because it was the 60s, so.
What was it called again?
A photo slide viewer.
So maybe it's just that plastic piece that you put the negatives in?
Well, it's a viewer, though. So, like, you have to, I'm sure, remember how, like, you can, like, look?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that that's more what it is.
Okay.
Like, you take the negatives and it almost magnifies them so yeah. You can see
right.
What it is. Because
the negatives are small.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little square. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so.
Oh, so maybe, like, the magnifying part, you mean?
Yes.
Oh,
so you, like, slide it through and you can look down and see, like, what it is. I didn't look that up. I don't know why I didn't. But it just popped into my head that, because, you know, like, the little Mickey Mouse ones. They're little teeny tiny photos, but when you put them in that magnifying thing, it.
I was thinking of the one that you put against your eyes and you see a picture and then you click and then another picture.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. But they're when you take them out, they're teeny tiny.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like the negatives are teeny tiny, so
right. It
probably like...
Okay.
You know what I mean. Anyway. Katie's staring at my hands as I'm like, they're teeny tiny. But yes, I think that's what it is. Either way.
It was his.
It was his.
Got
so,
it.
Fellow priests... the night of noticed scratches on John's hand after midnight mass. Yep. So fellow priests and many of the churchgoers also stated that they saw Father Feitz taking Irene to the rectory to hear her confession, which is also very, very strange.
Like, why does one person get brought somewhere else when other people
and
are
I mean,
there
the rectory
the
is,
booth.
You're alone. I would think that maybe if it was like, I don't even know.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe someone who was, like the governor or, like, in power that people didn't want, like, to see. You can say, like, meet me in the rectory or whatever. You know what I mean? But, like, taking someone...
Not a normal thing.
Not normal.
Gotcha.
Not normal. So, already fucking suspicious shit. So, they decide to take Father Feitz in for a polygraph test and questioning, which initially stated that he passed the polygraph test, which we all know how I feel about those. They're stupid, and I hate them. And why would anything still be, like, used if they're 50% accurate? That's insane to me.
COVID tests.
Well, they were 70, I think. So a little bit better than the odds of a polygraph, but either way.
I digress.
Yes, I digress. The father was questioned extensively, and he initially denied taking Irene's confession in the rectory, but later had to admit it because of the influx of witness statements. Suspish.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just going to change the story. Why you lying, bro?
Mm-hmm.
Why you lying, bro? He also stated that his absence from sanctuary was because he had broken his glasses because apparently he had like a nervous twitch, which I can attest to because when I was a swimmer, I used to chew on my goggle strings. I guess he fidgeted with his glasses when he was nervous taking confession and broke them. So he stated that he left. He'd driven back to his pastoral house to grab another pair. When he arrived, he realized he forgot his key. So he had to climb the brick structure to get in, and that is how he cut his hands and why he was missing for some time. I don't believe you. Cock off. You're lying. The police made the connection that 3 weeks prior to Irene's murder, another woman named Maria Guerrera had been sexually assaulted while kneeling at the communion rail at another Catholic church that was close by. I will not consider or say that I'm an expert in how the workings of Catholic churches are, but I always thought you were assigned to one church, but I guess I feel like maybe if one father was like, hey, I'm sick, can you come cover
like
for me?
Like a substitute.
Sure. That they could, you know, transfer?
Yeah.
Stuff?
I don't know. I don't know either.
Yeah. So rumors were that it was Father Fite. But of course, we all know the Catholic Church is so open about everything that happens.
It's not like they ever just do things to protect their own.
Never. Basically denied all the rumors and was just like, nah. New. And nothing really came of that. I think it helped their case a little bit because she had like identified him, but it's hard to go up against something as big as the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
So that shit's scary. So who knows exactly what happened behind closed doors? We don't, and we never will.
Nope.
So the investigators finally believe that they have enough evidence and they arrest Father John Fite. For the rape and murder of Irene Garza. This trial, unfortunately, ended in a hung jury. Because that's the worst. Yep.
Honestly, I'll say this. If I, knock on wood, I have never had...
She just knocked on her head.
I had nothing. Oh, there's a whole...
Wood trim?
Never mind. I've never had to do that. But I would be very nervous about sending an innocent man to jail. That's the only thing I can say about a hung jury is, like, you kind of have to give them, if there's not absolutely
conclusive
condemning evidence.
I don't know, though. This one.
Can you blame them?
That was pretty close.
I would
not
want that on my conscience.
Reasonable doubt exists for a reason.
Right.
But at the same time.
Sure. I mean, he does sound suspicious.
Like, you did it. We all know you fucking did it.
Right.
It's one of those things. And then it's like the other, I don't even know if it was admissible, that the other sexual
the
assault
girl.
Charge.
Yeah.
So
might not have even been.
Right. Which makes it more like he definitely did it. I mean, there were so many witnesses and stuff, but yeah, I get it. Reasonable doubt exists for a reason. And if there's not conclusive evidence that he did it, if there's reasonable doubt, it sucks, but. That shit happens. Right. And especially, it always gets a little bit super convoluted and confusing when you are in a town that is Catholic. Well, I'm assuming, let's do 95, are Catholic. And a lot, I'm assuming, are pretty devout. They're practicing Catholics. If it's involving a priest, especially with the Catholic Church being the freaking domineering force that it is... You could, it doesn't even mean that, like, it's hung jury. They could have been like, hey, I'll give you $20,000 to say that you don't believe you did it.
Right.
You know what I mean? What happened behind closed doors?
It could have even been an innocent thing where someone was like, I just cannot believe that my priest would do something like this.
From my parish or my church, you know,
although
like.
You would think that those people wouldn't be allowed on the jury. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, even during jury selection, you don't know. Right. I mean, you don't know. People can tell you what they want, what you want to hear, mm-hmm. what they think you want to hear, and then feel completely different. So it is very, I think with this one, it's a little, it's confusing. I mean, it is hard, you know, and especially it just, because this was before the Catholic Church was known for what it's known for.
Sure.
Other
it
than
was
fucking,
operating in the dark.
Yes, very much so. Before everything came out that all the terrible. Terribleness. I digress. That's just our favorite phrase recently.
I like it a lot.
So rather than facing a second trial, Fite entered a plea of no contest to a misdemeanor charge of aggravated assault and had to pay a fine of $500.
I thought you were going to say $5, but $500 is almost just as bad.
It's all bad.
It's nothing.
It's nothing. So for those of you who don't know what a no contest plea is, which I just wanted to make sure, if you enter a plea of no contest, it means that while you do not admit your guilt, you do admit the truth of the facts alleged in the indictment, information, or complaint. So basically, he is saying, oh, I know why I'm here, but I didn't do it.
Okay.
Which is so stupid, but sure, that's what he did. So in case you guys didn't know what a no plea contest is, you learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. In a very Catholic church way, after the trial, Father Fite was sent to an Assumption Abbey Trappist Monastery in Missouri. I think that's how you say that word.
So they were pretty much like, get him away from here.
Uh-huh. Like they always do.
Mm-hmm.
There, Fite actually confessed to a monk named Tashney that he killed a young woman and really hurt another. So this gets on the whole subject of...
Double jeopardy.
No, not double jeopardy.
Sorry, what is double jeopardy?
Well, no, it touches on the fact that it's confession.
Oh, God.
And you cannot, unless, from what I understand in specific states, you can release that information if it is involving the harm of a child.
Oh, because no one else matters if they die?
Exactly. Exactly. So, but again, I believe it's by state because... I believe that there is certain laws that are in okay. place. I know separation of church and state and all this stuff, but I do believe that there are certain laws that, you know, if in certain areas that if it's like you're meant to do someone harm or things like that, or similar to, you know, doctor-patient confidentiality yep. or even like attorney-client privilege, it's very much based yeah, on...
Yeah, but here's the thing. HIPAA is not going to stop a doctor from saying, hey, something really bad happened, like murder...
Well, yeah. I mean, really, that because like psychologists and stuff, they can release information or call police if you are going to harm yourself or harm someone else.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why is religion held above like doctors?
Because the Catholic Church is...
It's not just the Catholic Church. It's religion.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, the Catholic Church is, it's the biggest conglomerate. It is. They're worth, it's like Catholic Church... Apple, you know what I mean?
Right.
As far as they run the world, they run the entire world, which right. so they can do whatever the fuck they want. I mean, essentially,
right?
And well, we're all we are.
Everyone knows they can.
Yes, we are all well aware of what they can do and the power that they have. But yeah, all
right. So he admits this.
Yes, yeah, so he admits this. So it's confession. So this guy is also. He's a monk, okay? I don't really know exactly where they play in with the Catholic Church. Obviously, it's something, but
they wear brown robes.
He basically said it's not his place to judge him in a very monkey way and was just like,
oh,
I pictured a monkey. So did I when I said it. But, so the information went unreported for many, many, many years. Fite eventually left the monastery and was sent to another motherfucking recovery place, Jemez Springs, New Mexico, to a treatment facility for troubled priests run by the servants of the Paracleti. I believe
Why?
That's how it's pronounced.
Why? Because he couldn't stop raping and killing women?
Yeah. Just troubled. Real chill. And that's where they send people who touch children. Those are the places where they just pull the priest and are like, he doesn't need to go to prison. We're just going to recover him here and then send him somewhere else.
Recycle them, if you will. Wash and recycle.
Wash, yes.
Yes. What do they call that on the
shampoo? Rinse, repeat.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
Exactly. Let's just keep that up. That's a good job on that.
Mm.
That was good. He eventually joined the order as a staff member and worked his way up to a supervisory role because, again, Catholic Church. You want to hear what he did? This is great. So, Father James Porter had come to this facility after being, essentially is what I heard, basically caught, like, red-handed molesting children. Yep. Fiat cleared him for placement in another parish long before he was ready to go. Porter was later defrocked and imprisoned after abusing as many as 100 children.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck both of them.
Well, right, but...
Yeah. Yep. So, that's where we're at. Right now. Yep.
Okay, so was he taking this dude's place?
I don't know exactly But from what I understood, like, this dude was not there long enough and was very clearly still, I don't even want to say sick, just a piece of shit. I mean, just a terrible...
sick to an extent.
I guess. But you know what? If you know that you're sick, I feel like you admit or address it internally that you have an illness. Chemical castration. Start taking stuff that's going to help you. This guy did not volunteer to do that. He knew he was sick. He voluntarily left, well, got released, and then voluntarily put himself back in a position where he knew what he was going to do. Mm. Which, that, there's a line drawn in the sand for me on that stuff. But yep. That's just my personal opinion on this. Yep. Just gross.
Just burn him at the stake.
I mean, I would not be mad about that in any way. Fiat then decided he had enough of the priesthood and left in the 1970s. He got married, moved to Phoenix, and had 3 kids. He worked at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul as a food charity volunteer for 17 years.
Glad he got to live a great life.
Yep.
After Irene did not.
And she just had, like, the best... It's just so sad. I mean, like I said, this is a tough one. It's a tough one. She just had, like, a wonderful virtue, you know? Like, just a good...
A good soul.
A good fucking soul. Like I said, they don't make them like that anymore. And she was just a wonderful person.
We are living proof of that.
Yeah, no shit. So we're drinking vodka and smoking cigarettes talking about it's Maida. So in 2002, we're fast forwarding because nothing happens. After many, many, many years sitting on this information, the monk that Fite had confessed to, Tashni, finally called the authorities. So there was some issues with this because, as I mentioned before, Fite finished his seminary school in San Antonio. So what happened was Tashni thought the murder happened in San Antonio, and it didn't. So this will come up in a little bit. So there was a little bit of issues with that, but eventually he got put in contact with the correct people. The investigation into Garza's death was reopened that year. Texas Ranger, whom, just the best, I feel like... If I ever wanted to be a law... I don't even know if they exist anymore. They might not. But if I ever, like, wanted to be in law enforcement, I feel like I'd want to be a Texas Ranger.
Walker Texas Ranger?
Right? Just Chuck Norris type. But, like, also you get to wear, like, the most badass outfit. Like, you always wear a cowboy hat. You always have aviators
spurs.
On.
Spurs?
Yeah. Spurs with boots. Mm, like, I mean, come on. You know? Yeah, right?
Heck yeah.
Fuck yeah. That'd cool be... Hat. Exactly. That would
I'm
be...
I'm thinking again about The Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah, exactly, because, you know, Georgia. He contacted a Father Joseph O'Brien, a priest who had worked with Fite at the time of death, and by time of death, I mean Irene's. So basically, in the beginning of when this happened, Catholic Church, I'm pretty sure they pressured a lot of the people who were working at that specific church that night to not say anything. And if they did say something, to give a specific statement, and that's it. That's all you're saying. And obviously, they have access to lawyers upon lawyers upon lawyers. So I'm sure they were told to say whatever. So in the beginning, he basically just said a specific statement. That was it. Done. So I guess Rudy and good old Joseph, they got kind of chummy, and he got a little more comfortable, and he basically was like, you know what? He did it. I 110% think he did it. There's no reason why he was suspicious that night. He was missing for hours. I saw him escort her here, all this stuff.
The rectory.
Right. Then they found out that the polygraph test that was given to Fite was just not correct. Apparently, the
polygraphist?
Sure, polygraphist. I'm not really sure what the correct terminology is.
Polygrapher.
That's fun to say. I want to go with that one. The polygrapher was very new and just said that he passed. But again, Catholic Church people, conspiracy much, just conveniently what? Said he passed. And then people reopened. So nobody reviewed it. No one said anything about it. And then people... I don't even know how many years later, 64, 2002, it's like 40-something years, opened it up and were like, what the fuck? That's not right. Because they Yeah, I can't believe they didn't get rid of the tests.
Oh, wow.
So they were like, this is inconclusive. And two polygamists.
No one take this seriously. We don't know the right term, but we're having fun.
We are. Said that he failed horribly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So great stuff there. So this is like conspiracy again in my head, but also like, fuck this lady. So 2002, the DA in that area was Rena Guerrera. She chose not to bring the Garza case before a grand jury because she basically stated the initial investigation was shoddy. It wasn't. And that O'Brien was suffering from dementia and there was just no physical evidence to push the case forward, which I get. Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Sure, on that aspect.
I get it.
Sure.
But I would say there's enough circumstantial stuff to issue a warrant to arrest this motherfucker. But I digress. There it is again. This is the shit that really pissed me off. So she basically stated, and this is the DA, and I quote, "Why would anyone be haunted by her death? She died. Her killer got away."
This is a woman in power?
Yeah, she's the DA.
Good on you.
Yeah. And her family was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
I hope the people that voted for her were like,
"Nope.
What?"
Which is, again, conspiracy, because they can get to everybody and anyone, anywhere, to say this shit. And it's like, oh, you really think her family's not going to be mad?
Yeah.
What the fuck? So her death was just...
Your job is to make sure that justice is served.
Yeah. So who would be mad anyway? She died. Her killer got away. No. She was brutally fucking murdered and raped. Are you kidding? So that was lovely. So,
someone with empathy would be upset about that.
I know. I was like, sociopath much? Got it. Well, they say politicians. You know what I mean? Fast forward again. In 2014, so 10 years later, about District Court Judge Ricardo Rodriguez campaigned to unseat Guerrera as the DA.
Yeah.
And his campaign was based on reopening the Garza case. Ricardo fucking won. Mic drop.
Yeah.
In 2015, obviously, gotta give him a little time to get, like, acclimated in the court or in the whatever, yeah, in seat and all that stuff. So in 2015, he announced that Garza, or that the Garza case was going to be opened again.
Yes.
He stated that several of his investigators in his office were working on the case. So in February of 2016, there was a warrant issued and Fite was arrested in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
He was 83 at the time of his arrest. Jesus. He used a walker and he had bladder and kidney cancer. So good stuff. Glad he got to live his life out. Great. Fite was extradited to Texas in March of 2016 and incarcerated at the Hidalgo County Sheriff Adult Detention Facility. He entered a plea of not guilty, of course.
Right.
God, he sucks. Like, you are 83 and you are going to die. Just tell, like, give somebody some peace.
Let the family have their closure.
Exactly. Like, you're, I hate people. But again, Catholic Church probably involved. The defense, I love this. This, I had to put it in because it made me laugh. The defense pushed for a $100,000 bond, adding that Fite's health was an issue. He had cancer, he had all this stuff. And the judge basically looked at them and said, "Oh yeah, fuck you. His bond is set at $1 million.
Yeah.
Hammer, next. Thank you. Because I'm sure this judge was like, "We know you did it and you've got to live your life and you took this girl from this planet horribly and now your last fucking years on this planet are going to be terrible. Bye-bye."
Love it.
Yes. So the judge set a trial date of April 2017. Of course, Fiat's defense attempted to file for a change of venue, as most do. They filed a 700-page document stating that basically the reporters and everything that was reported on this case had warped everyone's minds in this general area.
Oh,
and
they
that,
wanted a change of venue?
Yes.
Get
so...
out of here.
That's what I said. Again, this motherfucker lived his life. So they basically, you know, like I said, 700-page document was basically like, everyone's minds are warped. The reporters here and this are one-sided.
Did it get granted?
Fuck no. The judge was like, "Fuck you again, no." Because their 700-page document they gave him did not prove prejudice against Fite whatsoever. But love this judge. I was like, good for you. So the trial got pushed a lot because... they just kept filing for continuances, and then there was issues with jury selection, yada, yada, yada. So the trial started on November 28th, closed on December 7th. Fight was finally convicted of the murder of Irene Garza. He was sentenced to life in prison. He was incarcerated at W.J. Estelle Unit and died of natural causes at Huntsville Hospital on February 12, 2020.
Damn, that was not that long ago.
No, it was not at all. That's kind of why it popped back on my radar, because I was looking at True Crime something, and it was like, it was still kind of relevant because this guy was just... It was actually, so like the defense actually didn't even push for a life sentence. They asked for, which I thought was kind of cool and like a semblance of like the life that she didn't get to live. They said that they didn't want a life sentence. They just wanted 57 years given to him because that is the amount of years that were taken from Irene. Because at that point, she had been dead for 57 years.
Okay, that's so, fair. You know he's not going to live past that, so.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, kidney bladder cancer is at a walker.
And he's
not.
83.
Right. He's not living anywhere near past that. So I thought that was kind of cool that even, like, you know, the prosecution was like, we're not even looking for a life sentence. We just want this motherfucker to, like, know what he did.
Right.
So there was actually lots of conspiracy stuff with this one, as you can, you know, imagine. It's involving the Catholic Church, which, as we talked about a million times, is a huge fucking entity in this world. Not just the U.S., fucking everywhere. So people firmly believe that the district attorney that I talked about that refused to open the case was on their payroll. There was many elected officials that were very close to getting, like, they took deals, police officers, things like that, that were, I wouldn't say they're all bad, because obviously there are people that pushed, and I think when it got to more recent times where the Catholic Church has been kind of put on a pedestal to, like, this is what you've done and we know kind of thing, with the whole, you know, unschooling of, like, the amount
of
children that were molested.
More of a spotlight on them.
Sure. Which, the movie Spotlight, good flick.
Oh, that was good.
Good flick. Which I think that they were, I think back then it was a little easier to get people on your payroll. So they also, there was also a statement made by Tashney that.
The monk?
Yes, the monk, that when Fight confessed to him, he looked at him and was like, why are you not in prison? And he was like, three reasons. The church, the DA and the police officers, and then, I don't remember the last thing he said, to be honest, but those were the two. The last thing he said was just like, because of Jesus, or God, or whatever. So, no one cares about that. But, I mean, he openly admitted that he had help from basically all sides of this. Obviously, they can't be proven, but this is also kind of crazy because when this happened, JFK was either, he was campaigning to be president, and JFK was the only Catholic president that we've ever elected into office. So this was a big deal to keep this
under wraps.
Under wraps. So conspiracy theory much? I'd say probably. But that, my friends, was the murder of Irene Garza.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a rough one. That's what I said.
I've never
just
heard of that.
Yeah. Crazy, right? I mean, it gets a little crazy because it involves such a big priest. I mean, I don't care if you're a Catholic priest. I don't care if it's always just those people that you, like, many people in this world look to as, like, an authority figure or a role model or someone that you can count on or trust.
Authority figure, almost.
Yeah, for sure. Where you are completely just blindsided, which, unfortunately for Irene, is definitely what happened, because I'm sure she went in there with, like, the utmost trust with him and was just murdered. Horribly.
In a terrible way.
Yeah, in a really bad way. So that was...
That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, it really was sad. I mean, it was just like, and I mean, you could read articles upon articles and stuff, and it was just like, whenever they talk about her, and I know we say this about a lot of the murders, because most people, well, there are some people that are not the greatest people that end up being murdered, but she really was just like a light in the world, and it seemed to be just like a wonderful human, and, you know, was obviously spending her life
helping others
and giving back to the community that, you know, gave her so much, which is, again, I don't want to say it's rare. I mean, it's rare to find somebody on that. But Let me cite my sources before I forget. So, Danielle Halen YouTube channel, Wikipedia.com, TexasMonthly.com, USAtoday.com, CourthouseNews.com, and KRGV.com. That was the murder of Irene Garza, my friends. Yeah, so that was a bit of a downer, but also, you know how I feel about my conspiracy stuff, so.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little bit of both.
For sure.
I'm worried that I'm going to get assassinated now, because we talked about the Catholic Church.
Lock your doors.
Seriously.
Ooh.
But whatever.
Like I said, I'm a Catholic. My parents paid the Catholic Church money every year to our parish.
So don't kill Kristen, please.
Can we not? Let's just not. Thanks. Appreciate it.
On that note, I'll
Katie's Corny Corner. You thought I forgot.
I also, yeah. Worst jingle ever.
The best jingle ever.
What rock group has four men that don't sing?
You should see her face right now. She's so excited. I honestly, I don't know.
Mount Rushmore. I guess that's more of a riddle. I guess,
but it's still good. I like that. That was a very much a dad riddle or joke, whatever you want to call it. I appreciated that so much. Mm-hmm. That was great.
A little brain teaser, if
yeah.
you will.
Yeah, fun stuff, fun stuff. So I'm going to do my spiel as I normally do. We are available to follow at Nobody Not No Problem on Instagram. We're on Facebook at Nobody No Problem. We are on pretty much any streaming service that's big. At Nobody No Problem. Listen to us. Give us reviews. 5 stars because we're great.
Subscribe to us.
Yeah, do that stuff. And that's it. I mean, we'll post some stuff about, I'll send some photos and stuff on Instagram about Irene and her gorgeousness and the douchebag.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see a picture of her.
Oh my god, she was beautiful. I will show you one after this, but she was absolutely gorgeous. Like, just what you would think of, like, the perfect 60s, like, just the hair and the lipstick. It's just, you know what I mean? Just perfect. With, like, the for gloves. Sure. She's just gorgeous. But anyway, I hope everybody is enjoying the weather, because it's supposed to be 60 out tomorrow, so if you're in Chicago.
Heck yeah.
Not tomorrow, next week. So, yay, warm weather, and no more snow. Yes, so. Right? Other than that, I have nothing. Do you want to say anything else?
Bye.
That was so teenager-like. Bye.
I guess I'm Kristen.
I'm Katie.
And we are Nobody No Problem. We will catch you guys next week, my friends.
Bye.
Bye.